Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome back to Sofa Cinema Club. I'm Colton Smith, and as always, I'm joined by
Jack P. Shepherd,
Ben Ward.
It's a bit shit, that, isn't it?
Oh, like there's loads of really great names there.
Ben Ward.
Ben Woman. Ben Ward. I mean, it's Ben Ward. That's her name, Vivian Ward. It's a bit shit.
Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together to educate each other on films. Now, it is all about the films we should have seen, but we haven't. Each week, we set a film for each other to watch, and then we come into the studio and we talk about what we loved, hated, and rated about the film. Now, the beauty of our film club is all you've got to do to join in is watch along with the film and then join us every Thursday to find out what we thought of the film. This week's has been chosen by you guys, the audience at home, and it is the classic Pretty Woman. But before we start talking all things Pretty Woman and have a synopsis from someone at home, as always, how's your week been? What have you been up to?
I had the kids. I went over to Leeds, my hometown, and I went to the Fackley Medical Museum in Leeds. Have you been, Coles?
Isn't it Fackery?
Fackery, yeah, it is. What did I say?
Not the Fackery.
It's unusual for Colton to pick up on someone's pronunciation.
I know, yeah, it is, but I think, yeah, he is. Fackery Medical Museum, yeah.
I've been on a school trip, definitely.
School trip. Ooh,
definitely.
Sounds a bit dry.
No, and I know it does, but it is really good.
Yeah, it's quite, like, gory and stuff, isn't it? It's, like, history of physicians and stuff like that.
Yeah, it tells you all about medicine, basically.
What did you learn?
Okay, so I take the kids and everything, yeah? And me and my girlfriend, Hanny, we go, so we're in this museum, and they've got this old, like, 16th century, 17th century street of Leeds, yeah? It's called Disease Street, and you have to walk down this street, and it tells you all about, like, you know, the plague and, you know, all stuff like that, and what it was like to live up in that time, yeah? And you each get a character that you're going to be and sort of pick, and then you walk down this street and you find out what happened to you, this character, back then. Do you know what I mean?
I'm with you. Sounds fascinating.
No, it is. So my name's Thomas Holden, right?
Yeah.
And I'm a shit shoveler.
Yeah.
So there's two toilets for 360 people on this, like, place where I shovel. And I get cholera and I die, basically, at, like, the age of 49. But you also get, like, a little brief bio of what your interests and hobbies are. Do you know what mine were? I like to go to the pub and play dominoes with my friends.
That is you.
It's you.
That's literally me.
Where do they shovel the shit to?
I just move it from spade to the other side.
Street to street. From street to street.
And then the whole village gets cholera and everyone dies thanks to me.
Oh, what's happened? Well, it's not gone so well today. I'm off to the pub and to play dominoes. It's been a tough day.
Yeah.
Lots of shit.
Yeah. Well, everybody just drank beer because it was safer than the water.
Yeah. Did they just do a shit in the street then?
They're like little wooden huts.
Do you see that on the street when you go down?
Yeah, you see all that. You see all that. It stinks.
Have you... Like, I'm quite a bit of a museum fan, I would say, actually. Or I was. When I was a kid, I think me and my dad used to go to a lot of museums. Have you ever been to... This might be near where you used to live, Ben. Is it Beamish?
Yeah, I've been there.
It's class, isn't it?
Everyone goes to
it's
Beamish.
It's fucking brilliant, isn't it?
Everyone goes to Beamish, don't they? They think, ooh, look at it. It's like real.
So it's basically a museum that is a fake town. It's not a museum, is it? It's all open air. It's got a school. It is like going back in time. And it's mint.
You dress up like a Victorian, don't you, and everything.
Can we go to Beamish? It'd be great, wouldn't it?
It is good. I'm sure there's a train, isn't there?
Yeah, there's everything.
Yeah, I think there is in Beamish.
There's schools with the little blackboards and everything.
Yeah.
Eden Camp, Jack, did you do Eden Camp?
Eden Camp, yeah, World War.
We just went to Agent's Wall, saw the wall and drove back.
Drove back.
Just up zit, school bus. Someone threw up, wall. Someone threw up again, back. That was it, school trip.
School trips were actually very, very good, you know. I mean, I was never allowed to go on, like, the big fancy ones abroad because mum and dad just refused to pay for them. So, like, there was, like, the Barcelona trip with the football team. There was all the ski trips, and we never, like, went on them, neither me or Hannah. But we always did the, like, orienteering ones. So, like, the week in Castleton, like, climbing mountains and high wires.
We did a week in Whitby. Oof. When we were kids, yeah.
Looking for vampires.
Yeah, and it's all Dracula and all that. I loved it. Yeah. Loved all that.
How old were you when you were doing it?
I'd have been about 10. 10 or 9.
Ooh.
Loved it. Loved all
like
that.
Like Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
What was your best school trip, Ben?
That was it, Adrian's Wall. Oh, I'll tell you what we did do. We went out to a camp. And basically, because I'm so old, so now people will show kids things and it's interesting. Back then, they just stuck you in a field in the middle of bloody Northumberland, nowhere, and then got you to make a fire and then told everyone to piss off and run over the hills to tire them out. And we got told off because we got caught smoking. And we had to stand outside for an hour outside, like 2 a.m.
That was in year 6.
Yeah, no, just stood there for smoking. He just left us there. Tekka's left us there. We thought it was hilarious, brilliant. And everyone just ran around destroying things, throwing things at each other. I mean, that was the school trip. It was never like, ooh, let's go and look at something interesting. It was just like, you know, build a camp.
Waste time.
Waste time. Be in the country because we hadn't seen it before. What's that, sir? I mean, every 10 seconds, someone from Mike's, everyone was on. What's that, sir? It's a cow. Is it? Is it, sir? What's that tree? Oof. Oh, you know a lot, sir, don't you, sir? I mean, it's relentless. It's relentless on a school trip. Coulson, Ben, you?
Oh, I was going to ask you.
I've asked you now.
I actually found something out on the old Tinterweb. Well, I saw it. It was like, you know, you see them quotes and it's like the person you text last needs to do this to you, blah, blah, blah. It's like one of them. Mm. But it said the highest grossing movie in the year you were born.
Yeah.
Is the title of How Your Life Will Go.
Oh, right. Okay. So what are you? You're 98.
1998.
So what's the highest grossing film in 98?
Titanic.
Titanic.
So that's how my life's going to go.
Are you sure that won 97? I'm sure it was 97.
I Googled it. Now Jack's Googling because he doesn't believe me. I can see what he's doing.
Do you know what? I think it was 97, but it made the most in 98 as well.
Wow.
Do you know what's number two, even if you got this? Armageddon.
Oh, you're not having much luck,
he's
are
not
you?
Having much luck.
Oh dear. Titanic, and then what's your second track? Oh, I don't like that. What's the second one? Armageddon. Ooh.
But yeah, to be fair, that's pretty much the highlight of my week. I'm currently in a hotel room in London, so Ben has the entire flat to himself.
Do you know what? And isn't it great? I've got candles on. Got people round having a party.
Playing on my PlayStation, sitting on my sofa.
Yeah.
In my bath.
I've used all your bath bombs. We're fine.
Right, enough talking about those films. Let's talk about the film that we're reviewing this week. And it is Pretty Woman. And our friend, Richard Bradley from Daventry, which, fun fact, is my dad's hometown and is where my grandparents live. So big up the Dav Massive.
Does he know him?
We don't know, actually. I don't know. If you know John and Sheila Smith, I apologise. I have nothing to do with him.
Send us an emoji if you do.
Send us a popcorn emoji.
He's a film addict who loves watching the three of us on Corey. And he has said that listening to the podcast really helped him out over the last few years. And this is his synopsis of Pretty Woman.
Now, Pretty Woman tells the story of businessman Edward Lewis, played by Richard Gere, who was on his way back to his hotel from a business party, driving a car he had never driven before. Edward then loses his way and ends up on Hollywood Boulevard. Edward is then met by prostitute Vivian Ward, who is played by Julie Roberts, who escorts him back to his hotel and spends the night with Edward. The next morning, before he leaves for work, Edward makes a proposition to Vivian to stay with him for the rest of the week and to be his escort to events and functions throughout the week, pretending to be his girlfriend. Hope you enjoy, guys.
Thank you, Richard, for your synopsis of Pretty Woman. Jack, what do you reckon?
He's done all right there. He's got in, he's teed it up, he's told about the first night, and then he's not said anymore, and he's left us.
Teaser film. He's not made the mistake that you make, where no. You do start, middle, end, and give a fact. He's just said how it starts, you know, which is what it is. It's just, it's a boy meet girl story from two different areas of class, basically. That's what it is, and what happens is for us to discuss. So I think Richard has done a good job there of teeing it up for us.
What was your setup? How did you watch?
I watched it on my own on Sunday night. It's the first time I've ever seen this film, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I put it on my Instagram story, and someone sent me a text and put, big mistake, huge. And I was like, why is it? Is it not a very good film? And they were like, you've not seen it before, have you? And I was like, no. And they were like, it'll make sense soon. I mean, I don't want to say too much straight off the bat, but I think this was a perfect Sunday evening watch.
So it starts, doesn't it, in the red light district in, is it Beverly Hills? No, it's not Beverly Hills, is it? It's like downtown LA.
It's on where the theatre is, where they do the Oscars.
The Chinese Theatre.
Yeah, because that's where the stars are, the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Right, yeah.
So it goes from, it's always been quite, you know, I think it's always been
ropey.
Has a real mixture, such a long road. So that's where, yeah, that's where he is. Well, she is, and that's where he is.
Well, the bit that I picked up on straight away is, like Richard said in the synopsis, he's driving a sports car that he's never driven before. And it's not just the fact he's never driven a sports car before. I don't think he's hardly ever driven, has he? Because he's clearly from a life where he just gets driven about.
Mm.
You know, he's clearly a very successful businessman, very wealthy. And he kind of has enough because he meets... there's a few of his exes at this party, isn't there? And he says, what was I like as a boyfriend? And they basically say, you were horrendous.
Well, she says that his PA was her bridesmaid.
Yeah. And it makes him obviously question things about himself. So he just jumps in his car and goes for a drive to head back to his hotel. And he kind of stumbles across this prostitute by accident, doesn't he?
Well, he doesn't really know where he is, does he?
Yeah. And he's not. He's just asking for directions.
Yeah, to get up to Beverly Hills, to up to his hotel.
Yeah.
It is innocent, and he knows what she is, and he asks for directions, and she says, right, $5, it's just gone up to 10, and he says, right, okay, get in, here's $20, show me where it is, enough of the games. So that's all it is, it all seems like innocent, like, she is just going to show him the way to his hotel, and they do sort of have this sort of, like, flirtatious banter in the car, don't they?
Yeah.
And they get up to the hotel, and he's like, do you want to come in for a drink? Sort of. And she's like, yeah. You can see that she's sort of wanting the sale, isn't she? She's not interested in him.
She's treating him like a client.
Yes. And he bites and he takes her in, and then they go up to his room and he orders some champagne and strawberries, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And they end up do sort of speaking and having a good time. And do they actually get down to it that night? I think they do, don't they?
Yeah, but the weird thing is, from that first night that you pick up on, is she clearly is, you know, working by the hour, and, you know, she just is there to make money, where he has no interest in that whatsoever. You know, you understand that money isn't really an object to him, and you understand that, you know, he's more in it for the companionship.
Yeah, I think he is, yeah.
He's in LA, he's away from New York, he's in a massive penthouse hotel room by himself, and he just wants to sit and watch TV and kind of just bring himself back down to earth a little bit. which he does, and in that you kind of see a softer side from both of them, because obviously she's never been treated like that before.
No.
And he's never been, he's obviously used to going out with very successful women, not someone who is a prostitute and would be deemed so low on the social scale.
Yeah.
So she really kind of levels him out, and I think you get innocence from both of them straight away.
Mm.
And like the next morning when they wake up and he's awake and has ordered her every single breakfast because he didn't know what she liked, and it's quite clear that he is trying to be different and impress her slightly and kind of win her over, which is odd because he's paying for her.
Yeah. Although it's a funny setup.
What do you mean?
A film now, modern-wise, now.
Oh, well, it wouldn't work now, Ben. It wouldn't work. Imagine pitching that now. It wouldn't work in the slightest, of a woman being a prostitute and a man just pays for her whenever he wants at his beck and call.
And sort of saving her. It's like he's saving her from herself. I think he doesn't, all the way through it. I think she's fantastic in it. She's brilliant. I forgot just how underwhelming he is in it.
Richard Gere.
Yeah, I just don't think he does anything.
No, he doesn't really, does he?
She does tons. She's got it all in there. She's funny and it's complicated, and you feel like she's really in the film. And he just feels a bit like, at times, you almost couldn't be asked.
There must have been a few people wanting that job, though.
There was a lot. Christopher Reeve was basically nailed on for the part, and he... screen test, but he couldn't do Julia Roberts couldn't do the screen test for some reason. She was unavailable, so the script supervisor did the reading, and really badly as Julia Roberts. And because he was getting so frustrated with how badly this woman was acting and doing a reading, he threw the script across the room and he said, "I'm not doing the job." So he walked out. But they saw everybody for it. Travolta, you know, Robin Williams, Pacino.
There must have been better people for. Because I agree with Ben. He is quite underwhelming, but is he the ultimate gentleman? That job, all he kind of has to do is be completely innocent, clean as anything, but also quite clear that he kind of doesn't respect women. Because that is the role, isn't it? And he then learns to respect her, which is why he kind of learns to love her, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think he... I don't know what you're saying. I just felt... I forgot just... He just doesn't look like he's got any energy to him.
Well, funnily you should say that. Richard Gere wanted to have a lot of movement and a lot of energy, like you say, in the film. And it was the director that says... There's two people in this film. Someone has to be big and someone has to be small and not do a lot. Guess which one you are, Richard?
You're the one we're not going to watch, Richard. Because she's fantastic.
Well, that's all the energy in it of the film. The energy is her.
Yeah.
And he didn't want two people doing the same thing. He proper brought down Gere's scenes.
So how soon after this or before this was Erin Brickvic?
Oh, 9 years later.
She'd just done one film before. Mystic Pizza, I think she'd done before.
This made her?
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, without a doubt.
She wasn't first choice. You know, they saw everybody for it.
After this, she was just massive, was she? Just did everything.
Yeah, but I also think she's very good.
Yeah, she is good.
I think I forgot when I watched it. I haven't watched it for years. It's 30 years old, and I watched it with my daughter, and I just forgot how brilliant, how layered she is. Yeah,
she is great.
Because it could have been, if they were both on the level of Gear, it'd be...
Boring.
Abysmal. It'd be awful.
Got Academy Award nomination for it.
She did?
Yeah, Oscar nom.
She has got a lot going on, but it is her story as well. Like, she's the character that I think everyone at home falls in love with when they watch the film. Like, that's kind of the way it's written and the way the story is designed. So, like, obviously, throughout the film, there's this moment, isn't there, where after the first night, she's going to leave, and he turns around and he says, "I'm here for 6 days. How much for you to stay with me for all 6 days? And he went... Not as like a prostitute, purely as a business associate. Like, we've got some like work to do, basically. And then she names a price, and he's like, right, okay, yeah, I'll give you £3,000 at the end of the week, sort of thing.
Yeah, but that was weird when they were agreeing the price, wasn't it?
Why?
I liked that.
He says the price, like, she's all innocent, is sort of guessing money.
Yeah.
He's this big guy, and then he treats it a bit like a business deal.
But it is.
But then he does say, I would have given you five.
Yeah.
And she said, I would have taken two.
Yeah, I don't know. I was a bit like, oh.
I think you're just looking at it in a way from today's world. And like that misogyny.
Yeah,
and
I think I can't help that. I suppose I watched it with my daughter and I think I was like, yeah, I think you're right. It was just something that there were bits where that really stuck out. Whereas we've done other films that are that old or whatever and it hasn't really, the cavern hasn't stuck out.
You mean
out.
It's dated then? You think the film's really dated?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this.
It's really dated.
He gives us some money, doesn't he, to go shopping, doesn't he? He says, we've got a few dates lined up. We need to go out for a meal. We're going to go to the opera, blah, blah, blah. Get some clothes, you know, make sure you look pretty. So she goes shopping and then she gets turned away, doesn't she, by the shops because they see her come in. Do you know what I thought was weird? Everywhere she walked, and like back then she's like dressed as a typical escort girl, right? Prostitute. And everybody turns the nose up. But if you look at her fashion, then I'm like, that's really fashionable now. Do you know what I mean?
That's what everyone's dressed like.
That's what everyone's dressing like now, and that's cool. It's just weird how fashion completely changes, though. That's all. How that's in at the minute. And, when she gets turned away from the shops, she goes back to the hotel. And the hotel originally, all the staff sort of had the same sort of look towards her, like they didn't want her there.
I loved the character that you're about to talk about. I think he was really, really, really good.
The manager?
Yeah. I think he was a really, really good character.
Yeah. And he sort of like takes her under his wing a little bit and he says, right, okay, I'm going to look after you. I'm going to make sure people treat you nice.
And do you think he does that because he's met other girls like her and this sort of stuff happens at this hotel a lot?
I think obviously he's doing it for what's his chops? Edward, what's he called?
Lewis.
Yeah.
He's Barney Thompson.
Barney Thompson. He's doing it for Mr. Lewis, isn't he? Because he's a high roller in the hotel. But the more he chats to this girl, the more he sees the sweetness in her.
Complete innocence. Which is what she is, isn't she? She is innocent.
Yeah. Which is the attraction, that the same attraction why Richard Gere likes her.
Yeah. But do you not think every man that she meets and speaks to in the film, like, falls in love with her? Even, like, the businessman's daughter, you know, his assistant and attorney, like...
Yeah.
She has a touch on all of the men because she is just nice.
Yeah, she's nice. She's beautiful. And there's something about her.
Yeah, I suppose they're trying to give it a Cinderella feeling, aren't they? That's what they're trying to do. And they even say that. They're trying to give it a Cinderella. Cinders with this life, and then Prince Charming comes in and saves her. And I do like him. I think you're right, Coulson. I think that he's very good in that part. He doesn't just do the part. It's almost like he doesn't want her to... He wants her to be safe and to whatever it's going to be right for his, you know, hotel or whatever. And they get on, don't they? And then he arranges for her to have someone to give her a fitting for a cocktail dress. And actually the girl who fits the dress goes, because he says, oh, it's so-and-so, Richard Gere's niece. And she goes, look, I'm not really his niece.
And she just goes, they never are.
I love that when he went, have you got any more uncles in this hotel? That was brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. And then she does go shopping, doesn't she? She says, like, the next day is like, did you get any clothes? I can't believe you only got one dress.
Yeah, and instead he gives her his card rather than giving her an allowance.
Well, she says, they were mean to me. They were mean to me. And he's like, who's mean to you? And I loved that. I loved that he then takes her shopping to sort of like look after her, and he goes with her.
And he's in that shop and he basically says, I want to spend a filthy amount of money.
An obscene amount of money.
And that's when obviously the tune kicks in.
Yeah.
Which I got wrong last week.
What was the tune, Coulson?
Pretty Woman. Oh, Pretty Woman. No. By the way, it's got a lot of tunes, hasn't it, Jack, this?
Yeah, it has, yeah.
So she kind of gets... she's kind of getting away with living a life that she isn't accustomed to now because she's kind of got some of Edward's money. And even though they've only known each other 3 days, it is almost like he's giving her everything that she wants because this is how what he needs for this deal to work. She goes back into the shop, doesn't she, where she got turned away from the day before and said to the girl, "Do you work on commission?" And that's when it's the line of...
Big mistake. Huge.
Huge. And then just walks out with all of her shopping bags. Because she must have spent like 30, 40 grand on clothes that day. And basically, the whole idea of it is that so she can be ready to be Edward's plus one for everything that they need to go to. And I think they go off to Polo, do they, next, to meet a client?
Well, they have that dinner, don't they? With the guy he's going to... So in the background to this is he's doing a deal to take over a factory, a family-owned factory from Morse. And they meet to the grandfather and she gets taught by the concierge how to eat food. Yeah.
That's before she goes shopping though, isn't it? So that's when she's bought the one dress.
Yeah, she got the one dress. But I'm just saying the background to the film is the turn is Richard Gere's character is he's a mergers and acquisitions. So he takes a firm... That's not doing very well, splits them all up and basically destroys firms. And then he's going to have a dinner, destroy this guy's firm. And she brings out that other side to him. So then they go to the Polo. The grandson starts talking to Julia Roberts, his character. And that's when the attorney gets involved, isn't it?
Yeah, he is the baddie. He's not a nice one, is he? He's a wrong one.
Yeah, and he also takes her to the opera. This is when she sort of like, she starts to enjoy his culture as well, doesn't she? She gets emotional at the opera. And that opera that they're actually watching is about a prostitute who falls in love with a client.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's interesting because he had that line where he said, people's first time at opera is something beautiful. Like, it's either a really emotional experience for them or they get nothing out of it. And you basically see her really go through something whilst they're at the opera. And he's, you know, obviously he's whining and dining her like any man would ever want to. You know, they're flying in a private jet from LA to San Francisco to have a night at the opera and then they're flying straight back to have dinners here and do this. Like, they really are living the high life together.
Yeah.
Even though they've only known each other, you know, 5 days. And I think the bit that you kind of always can tell in Richard Gere's character is that it's going to end. It's a relationship for as long as it takes him to complete on this business deal.
Yeah.
And every time he's in negotiations to buy this business, that kind of means that, you know, he's a step closer to New York and he's a step closer to leaving her.
Well, he won't get hurt. What they're trying to display in his character is he got hurt by his father. He's been divorced. He got hurt by her. He's not going to get hurt again. He's not hurt in business. So Julia Roberts represents a business deal. And at the end of the 5 days, 7 days, he's done with the deal.
Yeah.
So what part of the film does he turn soft then? What part of the film is she not a girl that he's paying and a girl that he falls in love with? And at what part of the film does he not want to ruin the business that the man's built? What is that? What is his character's turning point?
I think it's when he rattles bones off her on that piano. I think it's then.
Why? Why the piano, Jack?
The piano in the middle of the foyer of the hotel.
Yes, that he can come down at 4 a.m. and he tells all the staff to leave. I thought that was amazing.
That's his power, isn't it?
Yeah, and I went, what? Like they'd fuck off? And Hanny went, but he's got money, he can do that. And I went, oh, that's a bit weak. Like the staff, they're having a break, like they're just going to leave.
No, the staff, it's 3 a.m, they're like, jog on, mate, I've got to clear up. There's a pile of sick in the corner and someone's dropped some fag ash in the plant and you fuck off. You've only played the one tune all night. We didn't even ask you.
No.
No, and they don't look tired at all, do they? He's like, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Everyone's like, what I thought made me laugh is they're all sitting there going, come fucking get on with what you're playing. It's doing my head in. And they all say, can you leave? And they're like, no, mate. No, we're not leaving.
When do you think he goes soft, Ben?
Well, I don't think it's whether he goes soft. It's when, for me, it's when she finally says, so he's fixated on money.
Mm.
Every transaction is a monetary transaction to him. Everyone is nice to him because of money. When she doesn't take the money and she decides to go, it's the moment he's going to lose something that he can't buy.
Mm.
She leaves the $3,000 on the bed. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's the moment where, you know, I don't know, he sort of starts to become almost a bit more three-dimensional and realise that actually he's messing with someone else's life. I think before that, he just sees money as a transaction, but it's actually messing with her. It's not, this isn't, he can't give her anything. He can't give her what she wants. And actually, she's not sure whether he's the right guy anyway. So as soon as he walks off, that was the moment I thought to myself, she takes the power back and goes, do you know what? I don't want the money. I had a great time, but I'm going back to my life. And that's the moment where he's like, oh, crikey, I'm going to lose her. That's it. It's done. And he changes. And then he has that meeting, that business meeting, doesn't he, about the factory?
Yeah. And he's also said how when he was a kid, he used to build blocks, he used to play with blocks. And he's realised as he's got older, he doesn't build anything anymore.
Yeah.
He just tears things down.
He doesn't build relationships.
No, he just tears things down.
He's got no relationships. The lawyer is bizarre. Everyone's after him. Everyone's in his life for money.
That scene, I know, obviously skipping a little bit here, but when he kicks a lawyer out of his hotel room and he says to him, like, I made you a very rich man, I think that's like him acting up on the fact that he's realised that people have used him for so long in his life. And it's kind of a clear out of the people that are making him a bad, greedy person. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Although that seemed to me really dated. He attacked her. And then he said, I made you a rich man. He doesn't go,
get your hands off her.
You've just tried to rape this woman.
You've just attacked her. Like, it that seemed so off. And then he goes, I've made you a rich man, and throws him out. Like, I don't know. There were bits where it just all got a bit mixed up, I suppose.
Is that because it's trying to share who's the film is and who's like the outright moral of the film is? Is it his transformation, or is it her trans, you know, is it a love story, or is it an individual character's journey?
It's a love story. It is a love story.
It is. Well, I think it is a love and should be a love story.
It is a Cinderella story. That's what it is. And yeah, originally, the writer originally came up with the premise of this film because all of his films and scripts that he wrote all got thrown in the trash, so to speak, from the studios. They didn't want any of them. They were rubbish. And he lived there on that strip in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Where all the core girls would come out and stand on that street, and he used to stare out of his window and think, what the hell am I going to write as a film? And he just studied that street and just saw and thought of the characters, thought of the people's lives, and got to know them just by looking at them through the street. He saw people die of crack addicts on the street, the arrests. That's why there's all that going on at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, he came up with this story of this prostitute, this one girl who maybe falls in love with this client and is rich. And does he fall in love with her for who she is, not for what just what her job is? So he then sort of wrote what he knew, which is what they always say you should do. And he was just by staring out of his bedroom window. And the original ending ends with Kit, you know the character Kit, her friend?
Yeah.
She takes a drug overdose and dies. And Edward doesn't go and rescue her and go back and save her from this life or whatever. They do split up. And she goes back and sees a friend die. And then she gets on the bus and goes to Disneyland in Florida. That's the ending of the film.
Oh, wow.
But the only studio who would back the film was Disney. Believe it or not, it's a Disney film. So this film about prostitutes in 1990...
Well, I watched it on Disney Plus, yeah.
There you go. It's a Disney film. Disney backed it and Disney produced it. They said the ending has to go because we can't have death at the end and they're certainly not getting on a fucking bus to Disneyland. So that's going.
It is interesting because the moment where she leaves the hotel room and... it's very clear that she's leaving for the last time and he starts to pack his bags and the hotel manager says, get the limo home. And it's very clear for her that this is the last time that she's ever going to live life like this. And there's moments in them. And when she leaves, I genuinely thought, oh, the reason this film is successful and is going to be the film is because it isn't going to have the happy ending.
You were thinking bicycle thieves, weren't you?
Yeah, they're literally going to fall in love in 6 days and never see each other ever again. So I do think it. I do think it. You know, led quite nicely to that. Obviously, I was very happy when
they get,
it was the happy ending. But it definitely did lead to that being a viable option of his character going back to New York and just leaving.
Well, she talks about it, doesn't she? She says, I'm going to go back home. I'm going to get a different kind of job. I'm going to go, maybe I'm going to go back to college.
She was going to San Francisco, wasn't she? Isn't that where she was heading to?
Yeah, she did talk about that.
Yeah.
She did talk about, my life's going to take a different direction now.
I like I said, the way it ended for me, I did like, but I do like a happy ending.
It's romantic. He comes back in the limousine, he gets the flowers, and he rescues her up the West Side Story fire escape. It's gorgeous.
Even that bit where he's in the hotel reception and he turns around to the concierge and he says, are there any messages for me?
I was smiling all the way through the film. All the way through the film. I was like a Cheshire cat.
Should we rate it then?
Rate it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Maybach, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Right then, Shepherd, if you were smiling like a Cheshire cat throughout all of it, start us off.
I'm going to go 7.8 for Pretty Woman. People might be shocked. People might have thought I'd have gone a bigger rating, but it's not the best rom-com of all time.
Is Harry Met Sally your best rom-com of all time?
Yeah, Harry Met Sally is just layers upon layers of truth and relationships, breaking down, getting back together. Harry Met Sally is completely different. This is pleasant. All the way through this film, it's pleasant. It never really... There's no jeopardy in the film, really.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? There's nothing that's going to shock you or... really make you think about anything, but it's very nice, it's very romantic, it's got some classic scenes, classic lines, the dialogue's very snappy. I love that line when they're in the bath and he's talking about therapy He paid $10,000 for therapy about his dad, and it cost him so much. And she says, all I know is I'm 44 inches from hip to toe. So you've got 88 inches wrapped around you, and that's all the therapy you need. I just thought that was a great line. Just made me laugh all the way through the film. It's an easy watch. And what did I say?
7.8 you gave it.
7.8?
I think that's fair. I think that's game. I think that's a good rating for Pretty Woman. Great soundtrack. Director's done well. Simple script. Julia Roberts, fantastic. 7.8.
You go, Colts. You go. Because I'll bring the whole podcast down. You go. You go. While you're both still up and happy, you go.
Well, for me, you know, like what Jack said, as for me, first time I've ever seen it, I did really like it. I enjoyed it. I thought I had great songs. I think she is absolutely exceptional. Like, she's
stunning as well.
She's talented. I fell in love with her watching the film multiple times.
She was your age.
Was she?
Yeah.
It's her film. She makes it. He's all right. His character is more likeable than he probably is in terms of... Sorry, his,
what,
his character...
Personally?
No. His character becomes more likeable. Like, it does have... There is a character development in there, and there is the transition between doesn't care about anything other than making money to falling in love with this girl. And I do think that is there.
I do think you want them to get together, though. At the end, you do want him to go after her.
Well, it's that bit of... Like, what I was going to say earlier was, when he's going down to leave LA, and he says to the hotel receptionist, he says, are there any messages for me? And he just says, no. And you see it then, it kind of, his heart breaks a little bit. And it's the first time you've ever seen him go, oh, no, okay, she's gone. That's that. And then he says, you know, the taxi driver took her home yesterday. And that's it. That's all he has to say. Because he reads it in him that he's obviously, this guy has stayed at this hotel loads of times. And he's always been a tit. And this week, because of this girl, he's been great. And that's the character development that I think I kind of got out of it. Eight.
Solid. Bang on.
Oh, dear. Yeah. I thought it was shit.
Really?
Not shit, just fuck it. It's so dated. The ideas in it were dated. His performance is poor. The story seems clunky. She's great. The bits in it I just thought were a bit like... Suspect that the guy, you know, I'm going to be cultured, take strawberries with the champagne, it's a bit better. And I don't know. I just was like, this feels ancient.
Mm.
It just, I could get it. I get what you're saying.
But you must have seen that film before, though, Ben, and gone, this is brilliant. Do you not think you have? Do you not think when it came out you went, oh, it's a great film?
Last week you wanted us to watch Pretty Woman over Matilda. You were like, yes, good film, solid film.
Do you just think it's your perception of today's world and everything that's changed?
Maybe sitting with my daughter it is.
What did she think?
Yeah, I mean, she did point out all the bits I pointed out. Hold on, Dad. I mean, what? Mm. Like, she pointed those out. And I get it. I suppose, yes, it's a different perception. I'm older.
Mm.
You know, I would have been, you know, even by my old age, relatively young when I saw it. So I think all the points for me are for her. Because I do think it's a fantastic performance she's put in. It's got real nuance in it and she really brings out a charm. The bit I love, the best bit, is when he shuts the necklace and she nearly gets her fingers trapped and she laughs.
That was an ad lib, that.
Yeah, you can tell.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, that's her.
Mm, yeah.
That is her.
Yeah, when they're flirting. And yeah, it's the first time you kind of see him relaxed. Yeah.
You know, those diamonds were $250,000. And they had a security guy who carried a gun around on set at all time.
Oh, really? Because of that?
Because they were...
Well, I just thought that was a little view of her. And then the bit at the end where it all gets a bit nasty, but no one really talks about it. I don't know. I suppose I've changed maybe now. Now I'm older. 5.
Fucking hell. Oof, guillotine.
Well, yeah, but you gave it a high rating. What did Colson, what did you give it?
5.
So we're 15.8 plus 5. 20.8, is that right?
20.8.
5, pretty woman.
Yeah, I think that's quite a low rating.
Yeah.
Overall, if you would have expected more from it. But because it's an iconic staple film, isn't it? That's. Mm. I mean, I'm saying this not knowing the answers. But I'm assuming it's a film that everyone should have seen. It's one of those, isn't it?
If you haven't, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. That's the rating. Deal with it.
That's the news. That's the rating. Deal with it. I'll see you next week.
Audience choice, Pretty Woman 20.5. Before we find out what I'm picking next week to rival Pretty Woman, as always, it's time for Jack's highlight of the week.
It is the hidden gem this week.
No theme tune.
No theme tune.
Okay.
I'm on a bit of a downer since Ben's review, actually. But what can you do?
Or do you want to do it really? Do you want to do it really monotone, no, Jack?
We're fucking doing it.
I can't
then.
Start
we're doing
singing.
It. Jack's hidden gem of the week.
You'd have to do it sad. You'd have to, Jack's hidden.
No, Jack's hidden gem of the week.
Yeah. I just want it. Yeah. Just.
Yeah. Get on with it. Jack just wants to log off.
Right. Just deal with it. It's my hidden gem.
Hit
hidden
us.
Gem this week. Okay. It's a doc. I think you might have seen this, Ben, actually. Came out a few years ago, probably like 10 years ago or something like that. It's a snowboarding doc. Stay with me.
Oh, Crash Thingy.
Yes, that's it.
Very good. Crash Reel?
That's it. It's called the Crash Reel, right?
Very good. Very good.
Quick synopsis. Basically, there's this young snowboarder who's on course to becoming the best snowboarder in the world, right? He's very, very gifted. He's like the Tony Hawk of snowboarding. Young kid, he's like 15, 16, something like that. He's on his way for the Winter Olympics and he smashes his leg and he breaks his leg into a million pieces and his career's potentially over, right? That's it, it's done. You heard of the snowboarder called Shaun White?
Yeah, long curly hair.
Shaun White's in it. Shaun White's not as good as this kid in the dock. So this kid's like amazing and Shaun White's like can't get to his level. And then all of a sudden this kid like smashes his leg and then Shaun White's career just sort of progresses and then this kid's sort of like in limbo.
What's it on? How do you watch it?
It's free. It's, well, if you pay your licence, it's on the BBC iPlayer. So you can get it on there.
Oh, great. Good.
And what's it called?
It's called The Crash Reel. Big rating on IMDb at 8.2, so it's a huge numbers. If you like all that dorm wall, all that Free Solo, if you like all that, you're going to love this. It's one of them. It's really, really interesting. And, yeah, really good. That's the gem. Deal with it.
Is this your new phrase now at the moment? Deal with it.
No.
That's me. Deal with it. Hello, I'm JP Shepherd. Deal with it.
What am I going to pick for you two? What do you reckon?
Some old tripe.
I think I am, Jack, actually. I think I'm going to pick something a bit shit for you.
Never let it be said we chase ratings. Because if there's a choice out there that might be popular, I'm not going to pick it. I'm going to pick...
Some turd. Some turd pie.
A film that as a kid I absolutely loved. A film that I've not seen for quite a lengthy period of time.
Oh.
And I remember a bit of an obsession with it when I was a kid. But the difference is it's not like a Disney movie. And I think you will both know what it is. It's directed by quite a prestigious director.
Mm.
No, you can see it's going to be shit. Look at his face.
No, because I don't know if it is shit because I loved it as a kid. but I loved it as a kid. And all the films that I liked as a kid, when I've been an adult, have been a bit different. But are you ready?
Go on.
Millions.
Millions? What the fuck is that?
Have you not seen it?
No, we never even heard of it.
Oh, we could be onto something. Danny Boyle?
I have heard of it. Hold on. Did someone win the lottery or something?
No. There's a robbery and they're running away on the train and they throw the money off the train and this kid finds it.
Millions.
Yeah. Have you not seen it? James Nesbitt? James Nesbitt's the dad?
No.
No.
Danny Boyle directed it?
Did he? No. Yeah. Jesus.
I mean, it's a big film, you know. It's a big film. It's got a big rating on IMDb, actually, now I've just looked at it. So it's a film that neither of you have ever seen. That's good.
Could surprise us.
Let's hope it does.
Could surprise us.
It could surprise me. It could get a million out of 10. So next week, for the first time ever, Jack and Ben are watching the classic that is Millions. If you want to watch it, all you've got to do is watch along at home, then join us next week to find out what we thought of the film. If you want more Sofa Cinema Club, we're here on Monday for our episode of Extraterrestrial. Remember, you can join us on Patreon at www.patreon.com/Sofa Cinema Club, where there is loads of exclusive content plus ad-free episodes. We're back here on Monday, like I said, and we're here on Thursday for the next.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Next episode of Sofa Cinema Club Extraterrestrial. Until then, good night, God bless.
Bye-bye.
Good night.